Hello, high school hockey fans. Welcome to another episode of This Week in Wisconsin Prep Hockey. I am your temporary fill-in host, Bill Berg Jr. With me this week are Dan Bauer and Bill Berg. MJ Hammett is off on assignment tonight. We'll get started right away with the thing I know everybody wants to hear about, a donations update from Bergler.
Well, yeah, unfortunately we're stalled. I think it ticked up from 36% to 38% during the last week, but that's about it. The donations are pretty much dried up. We're looking for right now. It's kind of forcing us to look for other avenues of revenue. Hopefully we don't have to do that. We have just a little over a week left. So if you were thinking about it, if you were on the fence, if your team's booster club has some extra money they want to throw at us, anything at all, we got a ways to go and not a whole lot of time. So I don't know what else I can say about it. It's just not looking good.
All right, and then moving on, Dan, we were also talking about team page sponsorships last week.
Yeah, those are still obviously those are available. Again, there are some teams, quite a few teams now that have team page sponsors, but there is always room for more than one. They're just banners, so they go right on the top of the page next to each other. They can if we have more than one. I mean, it's a pretty easy way for you to kind of do two things at once, which is help us, reach the amount that we're trying to get to and get some PR for your booster club, like we mentioned, or your business. And I mean, honestly, I think there's probably, when you think of every team out there with 20, 30, 40 players, there's probably somebody that owns a business that could take part in that. Hopefully, that's kind of where we went originally, what we were trying to do. I reached out to a lot of coaches and just asked them to spread the word, and some of that is still coming in. So yeah, I mean, we're still optimistic. It would be great if we could get a sponsor for every page. I just think it makes the site look nicer and makes your team page look better, and it's pretty cheap advertising too, so it gets a lot of views.
Yeah, otherwise, if you don't, otherwise they got, we use the generic ads that Sports Engine puts up there. Some of them are pretty ugly,
And we
So
did, I think we did welcome, I guess we're welcoming a pretty major sponsor that just got on board with us this week, and that's Quench Hydration. And I would they've taken out some ads with us, which we really appreciate, and some team page ads also. And I would recommend you just Google that and look at Cole Caulfield. He's one of the and he has endorsed this product, and there's a little promo that he has out there where they ask him a bunch of questions, random questions about the game and himself, and it's pretty entertaining. It's about a minute long. It's worth the watch.
Well, you can Google Quench Hydration or any of the banners that are ads that we have on the site for Quench Hydration will take you there.
That would be even faster, wouldn't
Yeah.
it? Good thing
Yeah, and
one of us is paying attention to that.
along with Cole Caulfield, their NHL roster also includes Nathan MacKinnon.
Not bad.
Who's,
And I think
the
they're the official hydration thingy of USA Hockey. I think it said that on their site.
Yes, they are. I have gotten three
There
emails
is
from
there's probably
USA
a better
Hockey.
word than hydration thingy.
The hydration provider, I don't know. I've gotten
Okay.
three emails from USA Hockey this season for promos for Quench as both a coach and a player, or a coach and a parent.
Oh, so yes. I'm drinking some Quench hydration solution right now.
All right,
It's the spot.
moving on to our games of the week, which were both down south this week. First, Dan took in Beaver Dam at Cap City.
Yeah, so if you remember last Thursday, I was just sitting at home trying to figure out when I'm just going to take off for Madison, and all of a sudden all these games I'm looking on the website and all these games are being postponed and canceled. And I was like, geez, what's going on? So I looked at the weather, checked out Madison, looked like nothing was going to be happening down there. So as it turns out of the six games that were scheduled to be played on Thursday, the one I picked, Beaver Dam, Cap City, was the only girls game that got played on Thursday night. So I picked a good one for sure. Yeah, it was like a hurricane when we got to Madison, and it was about 7 degrees out, so it was not pleasant evening to be out and about. But two teams getting together that were both coming off really successful seasons a year ago. Beaver Dam won their first Badger Conference. They had 19 wins on the season, and both of them wound up meeting in the section final. Cap City would make their second consecutive trip to state last year. They met twice during the regular season last year. Beaver Dam won both games in the regular season, and then Cap City beat them in the section finals. So we'll see how that plays out this year. Beaver Dam opened up the scoring. This was down in Sun Prairie Arena. And they have a really impressive young freshman, Macy Damon. And she's one of those players that sometimes we say that the puck finds them, which I kind of think of as an insult to a player because that makes it sound like they didn't have anything to do with it. But she's definitely one of those players that finds the puck. And when she finds the puck, she tends to be in the right place at the right time a lot. She does something good with it. And she just kind of innocently picked up a puck in the neutral zone. And I felt like in a couple blinks of the eye, she was past the forward who was trying to catch her and around the defenseman and in on top and scored to put Beaver Dam up 1-0. So then her sister, she has a sister that plays on the team, Emerson Damon. She's a junior. She put the team up 2-0 a little bit later in the first period. She got a defenseman put a puck down towards the net. She actually grabbed the puck with her back to the net, just spun and fired and found the back of the net. And at the end of one period, Beaver Dam was up 2-0. Second period got going, and Cap City got some life. Penny Leffelholtz, she's probably one of the hardest working players in the state. I don't think you'll find too many kids out there that go harder than she does consistently throughout the game. She got a great pass right in between the hash marks, a little bit to the left side there from Grace Allison from behind the net, wide open, and just one touch the puck into the back of the net. I know Penny really well. She plays for the selects team and definitely one of our best players, one of our hardest workers. So that goal made it 2-1. Cap City closed the gap. A pretty good period from there on. A lot of back and forth. It looked like we were going to probably head to the third period with that 2-1 score. And then Beaver Dam took advantage of a power play opportunity they got very late in the period. And the other there's three players on this Beaver Dam team who are very, very good hockey players, and the other one is Brenna Rhodes. And Brenna scored on the power play. She picked up a puck, I think off the rush, if I remember right, coming down the wall, got a shot on Sophie Martinelli, and then grabbed her own rebound, stepped around her and tucked it in behind her, and that gave Beaver Dam a 3-1 lead. At the end of the second period, just showed off some really great hands right there and agility to make that play happen. Third period, I felt like the ice definitely tilted and Beaver Dam dominated most of that period. They outshot Cap City 17-5 in that period. And then Macy Damon, the freshman, really almost like a carbon copy of the goal she scored in the first period. Another loose puck in the neutral zone. Came down the left wing and as a right-hander and beat Martinelli on the short side to make it 4-1. for Beaver Dam. Martinelli, if you've never seen her play, she'll remind you, she reminds me anyway, a little bit of Jonathan Quick, kind of like a spider out there. She's always very low to the ice, crouched down, sliding around, diving around. A little bit unorthodox, maybe, but she certainly knows how to keep the puck out of the net. She finished with 31 saves for Cap City. And then I think the other thing worth mentioning is coming into the year, Beaver Dam's big question mark was their goaltending. They graduated senior Emily Semiedema, and not sure I got that right, but she was 18-1 last year, and with a 2.08 goals against. So they were a 3-year starty, a starter, figuring out how they're going to fill that hole. So far, sophomore Ariana Wallace and junior Dot Baker have been splitting the games. And after that win over Cap City, they were Beaver Dam was 6-0, and they were both 3-0. So it's been working out for them pretty well so far. I would be maybe not shocked, but I'd be a little bit surprised if those two teams don't wind up in the section final again this year. And I think they're kind of both headed on that trajectory. Beaver Dam turned around on Saturday and went to Bay Area, where they played the Ice Bears and lost 5-1. And just the last note, I am working on a story about the Beaver Dam story, about their success story. If you haven't heard, you will hear coming shortly how they went 3 seasons without winning a game and now have built themselves into a very successful program. So maybe a blueprint for some other co-ops to follow down the road. But yeah, it was a good entertaining game, and it got done just in time to get back and watch the Badger volleyball team win. So it was a good day.
Well, you got to be careful if you take a team from winning no games and build up the program and actually, get up there to like win a state tournament. They might just move you up to Division One.
Yeah, that's a whole nother discussion, right?
Well, all right. Moving on for the second game of the week, MJ was at Milton at Janesville, notable because both those schools. High school programs are fed by Janesville Youth Hockey. MJ would be able to give us the details, but he's not here tonight, so I'll just run down the score sheet quick. It was a nail biter in the first with no goals scored. Janesville outshot Milton 10-9 in that first period. Janesville started chipping away in the second period, outshooting Milton 12-7. They scored early, and then they scored again late to win the period 2-0, and then they added a power play goal in the third to make it a 3-0 win. Shots in the game were 29 for Janesville, 23 for Milton, so it was a pretty close game. Milton had three penalties, all by the same kid, who had a rough second period. But other than that, it was a good game, local rivalry game. Those are always nice to see. But Janesville came away with a 3-0 win. Moving on to our Quench Hydration Players of the Week, we'll go back to Burglar.
Yes, welcome again to our new sponsor, Quench Hydration. They will be sponsoring our games of the week, our players of the week from here on out. They do not get to be the official state tournament home of Wisconsin prep hockey yet, but we're working on that. Our girls player of the week is Elizabeth Bowers, a goaltender from the Lakeshore Lightning. Had herself a week in 2 games. On Wednesday night, 25 saves in a 2-0 shutout over Arrowhead. And then on Saturday, 37 saves in a 1-0 shutout over the Warbirds. So Elizabeth Bowers did not let any pucks in the net last week, and she is our Quench Hydration Girls Player of the Week. And now I'll send it over to Burglar for the Boys Player of the Week. Thank you, Bill. The Boys Player of the Week is Jacob Maxson, a forward from Amory. Amory, they beat Menominee 9-6 on Tuesday, and Jacob Maxson had 3 goals and 2 assists in that game. And Friday they won 6-4 over River Falls, and Jacob Maxson had 3 goals and 2 assists in that game. And I was wondering why that name sounded familiar to me, but I was at the sectional final in Amory last year, when Amory won to go to state, and Jacob Maxson had a heck of a game in that sectional final too. So our Quench Hydration Boys Player of the Week is Jacob Maxson from Amory. And now we get to hear about the top sixes.
Can I jump in there quick?
You can jump anywhere you want.
I did touch base with the coaches for the two players of the week. So I just wanted to share a couple of comments from them. Dan Wade's been telling me about Elizabeth all through the preseason and how much they think of her and believe in her. And that was her, I believe that was her third shutout in a row. The two that she had last week, she had one the week before, and she has, I think, four for the season right now. She's 6-2. But he called her the quarterback of his team, talked about how vocal she is from the net, which, as a coach, I know what a great help that is for a defenseman and for your team when you have a goaltender that's communicating with you a lot. She said she's always the first one to the rink. And he said has a really great sense of humor. He said he thanked her the other day for keeping their team in a close game, and she said, "Well, it's kind of my job." So she understands what what she's got going. And then for Jacob, he has had quite a career already with Amory, and of course he helped lead them to their first state tournament ever last year. He had 63 points last year, 30 goals, 7 game winners. He was honorable mention all state. And Coach Matt Humpel said that he battles, works extremely hard in practice. And he said the way he conducts himself and the way he goes through his practice, he said, is, contagious throughout the whole team. And he feels like one of the biggest reasons why they've been really successful. And the other thing that he mentioned that's really important and is getting to be more and more rare today is that Jacob's a three-sport athlete. He plays football and baseball as well as hockey. And he said, when a small school like Amory said, we need kids like that that are willing to play three sports because, we just don't have sometimes enough athletes. So, yeah, that three-sport athlete is becoming more and more rare. But yeah, he's doing that for them. Just a couple honorable mentions that I think we talked about a little bit. Reese Spearing for Bay Area. She had 2 wins last week. And I mean, I think you could give her player of the week probably every week. I mean, her numbers are absolutely off the charts, along with her entire team, which hasn't lost a game in 32 games. And then Jonah Dickens had a really good week last week. He had 8 goals and 1 assist, and a couple of wins for Tomahawk. He became Tomahawk's leading scorer, passing Austin Lamer. And then Jack Adair for Arrowhead went 3-0 for the week. 3 wins against Homestead, WSN, and the big one on Saturday. He had 42 saves in the upset Neenah. I think that would be considered an upset. And that 3-0 week, I think, is kind of probably put Arrowhead in the conversation for the ratings. I don't remember if they got any votes, but if they keep it up, I'm going to say they're going to be getting some soon. So that's all I got.
All right. I will say it's hard for a goalie to win player of the week when they're only taking 15 shots a game or less.
Yeah, I
It's
get
not
that.
fair, but it's because like Spearing had, one goal allowed this week, but our winner had, the 22, 20 something save shutout games. It's hard to vote for the kid with, teens for the saves versus, 20s. It's just it's a hard sell sometimes.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree, but then again, it's kind of like the old thing about, your schedule. You got to play who's on your schedule, and same thing with her. Like, she's stopping the shots that she sees. Not her fault that they're not getting more shots. But no, I get what
Then
you're saying.
looking at that Arrowhead Nina game, Arrowhead won that game 3-2. Nina outshot them 44-17. So they did everything they could except score in that game. Nice game by Jack Adair. Moving on to our Quench Hydration top sixes. We're going to find a different name for that. But we'll start with Division One this week. Spash is your unanimous number one. Wausau West moves up one spot to two. Hudson moves up two spots to three. Nina drops two spots to fourth. Madison Edgewood drops one spot to fifth. And Notre Dame Academy slides into the sixth spot. They were not ranked last week. Also receiving votes this week were the Fox City Stars, Tomahawk, and University School.
I was kind of surprised to see that Fox City's dropped out of the top six after having just lost their first game. But then I looked at their strength of schedule, and they haven't played anybody who's ranked in the top six right now. And their holiday tournament, and unless they, I think they might run into Northland Pines, that'll probably be like the first real test for them is seeing Northland Pines in the holiday tournament.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I mean they lost to De Pere, I think it was 4-2. De Pere Saturday lost to Notre Dame 7-3. Who's it's tough to say where Fox City sits in that.
I think they're definitely strength of schedule is hurting them at this point, but I mean, still a great start to go out and do what they've done to start the year. Again, you got to play who's on your schedule, and they've done a nice job of doing that. And of course, looking at the D1 right now, top three teams are all in the same section, so that's kind of a familiar refrain in D1. So and I don't think it would be a stretch if you had Tomahawk in there at six, which would mean you'd have four of the top six teams from section one.
Yeah, look at number one and two. They were supposed to play a couple weeks ago. West was supposed to go down to Stevens Point, and I was going to go down to that game, and then it didn't end up going because the weather didn't really look good. But I guess that game got rescheduled, and they're playing
Twice.
tomorrow night. So I'm going to go down to KB Willett tomorrow night and watch number one play number two.
Yeah, I talked about Coach Brown. I had to remember his name. At Wausau West, because he's not Brian, about that before they played DC Everest last weekend. Yeah, and he said that game's been rescheduled twice. But yeah, tomorrow, West and Spash will face off against each other. Looking at Fox Cities, I think where they may run into trouble when they start facing tougher teams is the fact that other than Cale Adamovich and Andrew Osterman, their offense really drops off after those two players. One's got 27 points, one's got 23 points, and then it drops down to 11. So they're a first line heavy team, and once you start playing, the tougher teams, it gets harder to win that way. Moving on to Division Two. Northland Pines is the new number one this week, moving up one spot. Wanakee moves up two spots to number two. McFarland drops two spots to number three. Baldwin Woodville goes up two spots to number four. Amory is still number five. And St. Mary's Springs slides into the sixth spot. They were not ranked last week. Also receiving votes were Monona Grove, River Falls, and Somerset.
Yeah, Amory had a pretty good week. They won against two pretty decent teams and got just stayed right there at five. But I'm sure that probably doesn't really bother them much. I haven't seen a lot of these teams play, but I still am a big believer that Northland Pines is belongs where they're at right now.
I believe, not to, out any coaches, but I believe Amory is where their own coach ranked them.
No, I mean, they don't, you, as a coach, you don't want your team to get too far up the ladders. You like to kind of hang back there and sometimes drop out once in a while. It's a lot better to play the underdog card when you're not on that list, that's for sure.
All right, moving on to the girls. Unanimous number one again, Bay Area Ice Bears. Eau Claire area moves up one spot to second. Western Wisconsin drops one spot to third. St. Croix Valley is still fourth. Central Wisconsin Storm are still fifth. And Hayward moves into the sixth spot. They were not ranked last week. Also receiving votes were Black River Falls and the Lakeshore Lightning.
Yeah, Lakeshore, they kind of had, they got something happened there. They had a decent week, won a couple games, dropped out of the top there. But I saw Hayward in the Storm play. That was a pretty even back and forth game. Pretty two teams pretty evenly matched. They played overtime in the section final the end of last year, played overtime again. That was Hayward's second double overtime game in 3 days. They played Eau Claire in double overtime earlier in the week. So, not a lot of scoring going on in some of these games. And Western Wisconsin, I mean, they got beat by a pretty decent Minnesota team and got bumped down a notch. So, but the real story is, in my opinion, is like, is anyone going to be able to touch Bay Area? Because no one's come close yet.
Yeah, it's I don't think so. I don't think anybody has a team to beat them right now.
I think it's the only the way I what the only way I see it happening at this point is they gotta have a really come on have a really bad game, or they're gonna run into a really hot goaltender. And I mean really hot goaltender, because they beat the Warbirds the other day 4-0. I think Kennedy Coleman is one of the top three goaltenders in the state, and she's done a great job for them. But yeah, Beaver Dam, I'm just looking at they have not got any votes yet at 6-1. Black River Falls, I think, is a team to keep an eye on. I really like them. They're 3-3-1 after they lost their first three games of the year. So they played a lot better since then. And then the Fusion just hasn't played very many games to this point, so they're just kind of hanging back there and kind of in the weeds a little bit. We'll see what happens with them.
I think what works in Black River Falls' favor is that they held Bay Area to just two goals.
It is. They're the closest. They've done the best
And
job.
the shots were fairly even there, like
Yeah.
26 to
Yeah,
24.
it was under 30.
Yeah, that's definitely their style, is very much defensive oriented, and they know that's how they have to win. But yeah, they've been the only one to stay close to them. I think the other closest game has been 4 goals. That was the Fusion was 5-1, Lakeshore was 4-0, and Fondy was 4-0. So, but yeah, 32 straight wins for Bay Area, pretty impressive.
All right, moving on from the top sixes, there are no games of the week this week because it is holiday tournament time, so every game is a game of the week.
And I started putting together the holiday tournament pages today for the boys and the girls, and we do have a couple of girls tournaments that I'm going to get up there, and we got a boys tournament or two that I'm going to get up there. But if your team is going to a holiday tournament and you have a little flyer that has the schedule on it, or you know what the schedule or the brackets are, send it to us. Even if you're not the coach, just if you got a kid that's playing on a team and they're going to a holiday tournament and you have a copy of the brackets, take a picture and send it to us. We have to get all of them up there. I mean, I can look at the schedule and see that, we've got three games at the same rink. So I've been around long enough to know that there's probably a tournament that day, and then I look the next day and there's a lot of TBDs, so yeah, there's definitely a tournament going on there, but we need the brackets to know, who's going to play who the next day and what the times are. So please, anybody on the, I don't care if we get, five emails for the same tournament. You know, I can weed them out. Just get us the brackets, and so we can get our tournament page set up, because we try to keep up with that through the tournament and keep it updated. So we got one place, because there's so much stuff going on, teams all over the place. It's nice to have one area to go to and see, you know, how teams are doing.
Yeah, so like if by Wednesday you don't see the tournament bracket on our tournament page, go ahead and send it in
Yeah, that
regardless of
means we don't
your
have it.
yeah. If it's not there, you know, Tuesday, we might still be entering it, but if it's not there by Wednesday, go ahead and send it in.
Wait a minute. You're going to be in South Dakota.
Yep.
So
That
that
means
leaves
you,
me to enter all of them.
yeah, correct.
Okay.
We got some feedback from my open question last week about Appleton youth hockey.
Yeah, you ask and you'll get answers.
I had mentioned that I was surprised, given the numbers of skaters in Appleton youth hockey, how, there's no other way to say it, how bad Appleton United has been since their state tournament run 8 years ago, or whatever it was now. We got some feedback. I'm not going to read the emails we got exactly, because neither person said we could do that, so I'm not going to do that. For the most part, what I got is that, yes, if you're a Fox Valley youth hockey player, you play at Nina Horton-Villemanasha. If you're an Appleton area youth hockey player, you could either play at the Fox City Stars or at Appleton United. There was a pipeline back when Appleton United's high school team was good, where their youth hockey players were at the upper levels going to the Green Bay Gamblers. And as we all know, a lot of players who played for the Green Bay Gamblers ended up at Notre Dame Academy. The Green Bay Gamblers have since been, the Junior Gamblers have since been shuttered. And that pipeline from Appleton United to the Green Bay Junior Gamblers to the Notre Dame Academy has kind of been broken along with it, and they expect that more of their players are going to stay. I did get some statistics. There are 100 and I think it was. Let me go back and find it again. I opened the wrong email. And this part of that, I did ask if I could, you know, read out loud. There are 172 registered skaters in Appleton area youth hockey, which is a lot of kids. 92 of them are within the Appleton School District. 69 are within the Kimberley School District, and 37 are in the Kaukauna School District. So that 100 and math, 115 kids or whatever for Kimberley Kaukauna, those are all Fox City Stars players, leaving the 92 in the Appleton Unity School District for Appleton United. 92 boys hockey players is 10 smaller than Mosinee, if you're looking for a comparison. Mosinee youth hockey is 102 boys hockey players. So by youth population, Appleton United is more like a larger D2 program than they are, you know, a three-person high school or three, you know, team high school co-op juggernaut, by population, by numbers in the association.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't, I mean, I do think that the cost of the game has affected a lot of organizations and a lot of places. I don't know if that's in play here. I'm sure it is to some extent, but yeah, that does not seem like a lot of hockey players for a town that size with three high schools. That's interesting and head
And that's what,
scratching.
you know, both people who wrote in said that the number of players, you know, physically within Appleton has been shrinking, and the number of players outside of Appleton has been growing. And the numbers kind of, at least for the, you know, bear that out.
I know the Nina program, my grandson's in the Nina program, and I know that their numbers are growing and they're doing very well over there. But yeah, it's okay. I mean, that's just one of those things. It's kind of like the Green Bay issue, what's going on there, and why we have an entire high school team that's playing Waha instead of WIA. Those are questions that I need to get answered at some
Well,
point.
and the Appleton one has always kind of vexed me because we've been doing this for 25 years now, roughly, and I've never heard as many people shout, break up that co-op, in story comments, Facebook comments, social media comments, as I heard the year Appleton United won the state tournament after finishing runner-up the year before. It was like a statewide, all hands on deck, break up the Appleton United co-op. And then after they won that state tournament, they fell off a cliff, and nobody has said break up the Appleton United co-op in 8 years.
Well, yeah, they looked at the enrollment of the, I think it's what, four different Appleton schools that make
Three.
up the co three, and
Yeah.
it was large. But that they don't all play hockey. One of the emails we got, I recognize the name, Adam Brand. I think he was born in the Fox Vale area, but they lived in Antigo coming up. He played his sophomore year with Antigo High School and the team that Bob was on. It wasn't a good fit for him as a sophomore. Antigo, he was coming in new as a sophomore, and the leadership group of Antigo was, let's say, rather cliquey. He didn't really fit in with them. He kind of clashed with the coaches. He went and played AAA up in the UP. Played some juniors, ended up playing at Lawrence University, and in Appleton. And I think it sounds like he just stayed there after he graduated. So Adam Brand, I recognize the name.
And the other person who sent us comments was Nate Simonson, Carter Simonson's dad. I believe Carter is the second leading scorer on the Menasha-Hortonville Rockets this year. So thank them for their comments. And then the last one is something I don't know. I don't want to just make people angry, but I've seen two girls co-ops now with rosters of more than 40 players this season in the Cap City Cougars and the Brookfield Glacier, and I just have to ask why. It's my understanding that co-op agreements are only supposed to be 2 years, and then you renew them and see what's working out and what's not. And if you've got 40 players on a team, you have to be able to find a way to make two teams out of all the schools in those co-ops. I mean, looking at the roster for the Cap City Cougars, I think Sun Prairie has enough girls to field their own team. Like, why aren't they? And I don't know. I'm not in Sun Prairie. I am in Wausau. And I've, deal with that for our own girls co-op. Tried real hard this year to have a little less girls co-op this year. It didn't work out at the 10U level like we were trying, but we tried. And it's just I don't know, when I see a girls co-op roster that's 40 players strong, I have to ask why that's not two teams.
Yeah, and I think probably every one of those situations you looked at or that you look at or you come across, whether it's boys or girls with, big numbers, is probably different reasons why they haven't split or tried to split. And I mean, I just think there's a lot of variables that, or you can't really predict. I know one of the big ones, especially in the Milwaukee area right now, is lack of ice time. I know that's a big concern.
That is a big problem in Milwaukee. Yes.
Lakeshore Lightning has a big roster, and I talked to their coach quite a bit about that, and he's just like, we just seriously don't know where we could put another team right now for practices. And so again, I mean, I think that's part of it. Obviously, the people who are in charge of these co-ops, whether that be booster clubs or whether it's coaches, I mean, they're the ones that have to push for it and have to make it happen, because if they're not on board with it, I don't think, well, there's probably not a lot of high schools that are looking to say, hey, yeah, let's take on hockey because we have enough money for that. And I'm not going to go down that road about schools and money, but I just think there's a lot of variables. I know, I was obviously pretty deep into the Storm organization here. My daughter's played there, and I know when we would sit down and talk about that, one of the big things that continued to come up is so if you let's just say Mosinee and Everest go together and East and West go together, which would obviously make the most sense. And let's just say you're at a time where you each have 20 kids. But now you've decided to split, but now six kids or five kids from Everest Mosinee say, well, we think the East West team's going to be better, so we're going to open and roll and go play for them. And then you can't predict that and you can't stop it. So then all of a sudden you're
Well, I
looking at,
mean,
a team of 14.
you can stop it after their freshman year.
Yeah, but what if those kids are, what if they, what if the people just decide, it's only a half hour, an hour, we're just going to move. I mean, I just think there's, it sounds easy to just say, let's just split. And I'm not trying to defend not splitting because I would love to see these co-ops split and see the game grow. But I think it's not always just as easy as saying, okay, we're going to split. I mean, do we have coaches? Do we have money? Do we have ice? Is there enough depth in the youth program to keep us going beyond, I pushed really hard when I was in the Coaches Association that every team should have to turn in a projection for like the next 5 to 8 years of what they think their numbers are going to be based on what their youth numbers are right now. And just never got any traction on that. But I think something like that's going to have to happen. And I just think if we don't find a solution or come up with something, and we allow the WIA to step in at some point, I'm just worried that we're probably not going to like their solution.
Well, if you actually read the WIAA's logic, the reason for co-ops is to help fledgling programs get started. And with the girls, it has actually done just the opposite. I remember, 10, 12 years ago, let's see. Rhinelander had their own team. Lakeland had their own team. Tomahawk had their own girls team. Medford still does. Wapaka had their own girls team. Stevens Point or Marshfield had their own girls team. Stevens Point and Rapids were the first ones to join down there. But each of them had a girls, like a 14U girls team. Each of them had their own girls team. They only merged as a when they merged as the Pink Panthers, I think it was back then,
Red
Point and
Panthers.
Rapids. Well, then they set forth their own demise, because they merged their girls U14 and U12 teams also. So, all about how hard it is getting families started in hockey. You make it as easy for them as possible. You want to make it as easy for them to get going on hockey. It can be expensive, so you want to ease that as much as you can. Like right now, the Wisconsin Valley Union, Wapaka to Marshfield. That's a long hike. You're talking. Girl from Wapak is playing a home game in Marshfield, an hour and a half away, a home game. That's wrong. That's just not right. I think once the first co-op started, I know I'm going to hear this. I think the co-ops are, I think they're chasing championships. They're not interested in growing girls hockey. They're interested in their own program and getting their own program. And I know how hard it is. I know how hard it is to have like your own high school hockey team, because you've got, I coached the Northern Edge There were like a handful of girls in Anna Birch with Rhinelander. And I mean, Rhinelander had like, three or four good skaters, and Anna got a couple of good skaters. And then they had a lot of first-tier skaters. And that's frustrating for somebody who's been playing hockey since they were 4 years old. Now they're on a team where half the team didn't even pick up a hockey stick until they were in high school. If you, where do you, where, what's the balance? How do you balance that out? I don't know. But now the way we're going, I mean, in another, 6 years, we might be down to 12 teams.
Yeah, I like you said, I don't know. I've been in that boat. When I was in WPC, I had girls that were one of the most prolific goal scorers in the state, skating alongside girls that had been on the ice literally for a year. So, yeah, it's challenging. I think one of the other big questions is, do we? I mean, ideally, we want programs that have enough kids to have a varsity and a JV, because a lot of kids come into high school and they're not ready to play varsity. And when you only have, you look at Viroqua, they have like 13 skaters, I think, this year. You don't have any choice. Like, you're a freshman, you're ready, you're not ready, you're going to play because you have to. So I mean, do we, what are we trying to get to? Are we just trying to get more teams, or do we want to get solid programs that can have a varsity JV? And yeah, it's a bit of a mess, but I mean, we really need to find a way to figure it out. And like you said, the underlying thing has to be that we're trying to grow the game and not just win championships.
I mean, everybody is entitled to their own opinion on the matter, obviously, but in my
And
opinion, if
if
the
we
choice is between a varsity and a JV or having two different teams is the right answer.
And if I or somebody else has said anything that offends you, just remember, send all the email to trasher@wisconsinprephockey.net. He's not involved anymore, but the email will still go to him. So
Yeah. And I do think you're right on that, where if you're at that number, we should go to two teams, because I think that, basically kind of forces you to build a program, right? Where otherwise, the other thing that happens a lot, and nobody wants to talk about this either, and that's teams that will, say, well, no, we don't have 40 kids, we're just at the number where we can't split. And some of those programs, girls cut themselves because they know they're not going to play. And so there might be, four, five, six kids out there that would play if this team was split, but they know, in the current situation, they're not going to get any ice time, so they walk away from the game. And that's definitely not what we want happening. Like, we don't want kids leaving the game. I do think that happens in places also.
I mean, I know I don't mean to seem like I'm picking on Cap City or Brookfield. It's just I've never seen, like, physically on paper, a 40 plus person roster. Like, every now and then I hear a rumor, oh, this team's got 40 or whatever. But you look at them on Wisconsin Prep Hockey, and 26 of them might be listed on our site because those are the only ones that see ice time in varsity games, and the rest of them are JV. So we don't see all 40. So this was the first year where I actually saw, like, paper copies of two 40 plus person rosters, and I'm like, that doesn't give me good, happy feelings about girls hockey in Wisconsin. And, Dan said we don't want kids to quit. I saw it happen this year. My youth association tried really hard to have our own 10U girls team for the first time outside of the co-op that we're normally with. It didn't end up happening, and I know for certain two of those girls quit hockey because of it. Because they didn't want to play at the co-op, and they didn't want to play co-ed hockey. So they're not playing hockey now because we weren't able to make that happen.
Yeah, that's a big thing that works against girls hockey too, is for the majority of girls, they want to play with girls, and that maybe didn't used to be the case when girls first started to become part of the sport, but I think for the most part, again, I think most of the USA Hockey people too would tell you that when girls are given the opportunity to play with girls, they like it a lot better than playing with the boys. And there's going to be exceptions. I'm not trying to say that there isn't or that's wrong. I'm just saying most of the time they do feel like it's a better situation when they're playing with girls.
Well, boys smell awful.
Well, that's one of the problems. Yeah, it's a difficult subject, and I'm sure there's lots. I mean, anytime I've ever written anything remotely close to talking about co-ops, it's always very controversial and gets lots of feedback, and I think that's good too, because we have to find an answer, and to find an answer, we've probably got to talk about it, and so that's hopefully that those conversations keep going.
Well, I can almost guarantee you the WIAA will not step in and force them to break up. From what I've seen in the past, the one thing that the WIAA is afraid of is lawyers holding up papers that say Title IX. The WIAA is afraid to step in and do anything involving girls' sports in a negative manner. They don't want to do it.
Well, there is a. I know it's also a big problem. The co-op issue is a big problem in volleyball right now, also. And I know that the volleyball coaches have put together some sort of a formula for how to deal with the co-ops, and how many schools you can have and how long you can be together. And it's a pretty elaborate chart. I got a glimpse of it. Haven't been able to find anyone that will give it to me. So it's some sort of secret information, but I would really like to see it. And again, I don't know why that should get shared, because if they are onto something that makes sense and is good and could be feasibly implemented, then we should all be able to get a look at it. Maybe we can make it even better. But yeah, for some reason, I can't get anyone to send me that. So anyone out there, volleyball coach, if you have co-op volleyball,
Always,
send it to me.
I wouldn't even have thought of volleyball as a co-op sport, given the fact that there's in the girls division there's five divisions, and the co-op is just going to move you up higher. And then, I mean, volleyball doesn't have a very big roster requirement, does it?
I wouldn't think so. I mean, I think what, like probably a
Well,
dozen?
no,
I
you
don't
got
know.
six starters and maybe two or three, regular subs will work in during the course of a game.
You're talking, yeah, but I mean, in high school, I'm sure they probably have six. They probably have 12 players on a team, I would think, a minimum. But I don't know. That's just what I've heard. And I did, like I said, I did get a glimpse of it on a video call that I was on, but, I haven't been able to get the actual document.
I mean, at one point, WIAA girls hockey had 33 teams, not 27. Not all of the teams that have gone overlapped in, with being available. So over the course of the many years, there's probably been about 38 or 39 teams, but at once, there's never been more than 33. And now we're at, what, 27?
Yeah.
When was the last time we had a new team? Girls team.
I mean, well, I don't know, like new, like not a new co-op. Yeah, I'm not
Even a
sure.
new co-op and just a new, not a renamed co-op, but when was the last time a team was added? I
Yeah,
had a sp
not just two independent teams that merged and formed a
Right.
co-op, but
Yeah.
a brand new team.
Yeah, I'm sure I can find it.
I had a spreadsheet that had all of the teams through the years in girls hockey. I'll see if I can dig that out for next week.
I do have t one or two quick things. I just wanted to shout out, I guess, to Ryan Reichel. He's been an official WIA official for, well, he's been an official for 37 years. Been doing the WIA for a long time. He, I think, started in 1997. He worked 21 state tournaments, six state championships. He's worked D1, D3 levels, and he's worked the Great Lakes Hockey League. But he is stepping away after 37 years. He had a knee surgery, a knee replacement, about 5 years ago, longer than that, actually, 10 years ago almost. And he was told he should stop officiating at that point, but kept going because he loves what he was doing. But he just got to the point where he can't do it anymore because of the pain and felt it was affecting him being able to get in the right positioning during games. But I've had him officiate many games when I was on the bench, and I mean, he was definitely one of the guys I was always happy to see skate out there. You know, he was going to be approachable. You know, he was going to be happy to be there, call a good game. He will definitely be missed, as you know, we do have a continuing referee shortage, so I really hate to see anybody walk away, but especially somebody who I think did a great job of it while they were out there. The best moment, he still, it just happened last year, but one of my favorite referee moments was in the section final. I think it was one of the Nina kids had the puck, somebody went offside, and he just threw the puck in the corner because he was mad because his line mate went offside. And I mean, Reichel skated right over to him and told him to go over in the corner and pick the puck up and bring it back to him. So I thought that was one of the best things I've ever seen. Like,
That's better than a
also,
delay of game
I mean,
penalty, yeah.
that's teaching life lessons out there. So that was pretty cool. The other thing is Jonah Dickens became the leading scorer in Tomahawk history, and he is chasing down the state unofficial state scoring goal scoring, which I believe is to be 180 goals, by Andrew
Jakey. Jakey.
Jakey of Oregon. So he is within striking distance of that, and maybe he is going to be able to catch that. The crazy part to me, frustrating part for me, I'm kind of a stats nerd and I really love stats, is that there is no official record of boys or girls all-time scorers, goaltenders, any of that stuff. You look, basketball has it, football has it. I just think it's embarrassing that we don't have that in hockey. And I've been trying, working with another guy, and we're trying to put the girls' history together, which is a little bit easier because we don't have to go back, obviously, as many years. But if you have statistical histories of programs, send them to me. I would, combined with all the stuff I got from George Bauman, I think I have a pretty good start on a lot of it. It's gonna maybe be my project when I retire, if that ever happens. It's a huge project, but to me, it just needs to get done. We need to find a way to put the history of this game back together, so you can just go to a web page and look this stuff up.
And to answer an earlier question that was asked, the last team added to the girls WIA division was the Lakeshore Lightning in 2015. Not counting merging co-ops, because the Northern Edge and Northland Pines have merged since then, and the Point Rapids Red Panthers merged with Waupaca to become the Wisconsin Valley Union since then. But yeah, the last new team created was the Lakeshore Lightning in 2015.
And then of course, and then there's also the new old team, which is Beaver Dam, who was on their own, joined the Warbirds for 2 years, I believe, which I thought was longer than that. I just found out a little bit about that today.
Yeah,
And
they joined
went
for
back on their
2018,
own.
2019.
Yeah, so that, I don't know if that qualifies. It's kind of like a new team, but
I mean, it kind of, yeah.
they separated
Well,
from the co-op, but still do that.
that is what co-ops are for. You know, you don't have enough players for a couple of years, you merge with somebody else, then you go back to being your own team. Now, like for instance, on the boys' side, there is the Wausau East Merrill Union, which each of those teams was like real low on numbers. But right now, there are only four players for Wausau East. The parents would like to see, from what I've heard through the rumor mill, none of this is actual fact. You can't, well, I suppose you can quote me if I say it, but they want to go back to just being Merrill. I don't know what it's going to take to make that happen. I don't know what the Merrill Youth Association numbers are like. I mean, do they have enough to sustain this, for the next 5 years? I think that's how athletic directors look at it, is, do we have enough to keep our own team for 5 years? Because we don't want to, we got a lot of kids right now, 2 years they graduate and we got to go crawling back to Wausau East, but they've already gotten married to Wausau West and they're now, just Wausau. So they have no partner to crawl back to.
And Merrill, their youth association, they don't have a bantam team this year of their own. They have two peewee teams, but only one squirt team. So.
Yeah, I think I've heard. I have a bunch of the Merrill kids that are in my summer camp and East kids too. And from what the Merrill kids tell me, they don't think there's enough kids right behind them right now. So I don't know if that can change or not. But I mean, if Merrill did go back on their own, Wausau East can't have a team with four kids or five kids. That's not going to work either.
I mean, the natural solution to that would be that they join with Wausau West. They already share a building. They're in the same school district. And the Wisconsin Valley Conference no longer has the you can't be part of a co-op rule because East Merrill are in the valley.
Yeah, there was a day when that would be like mixing gasoline with fire. I'm not sure what it's like today, but I know it wouldn't have gone over very well. Certain time periods.
Well, they all play for the Wausau Youth Program. And like I
They
said,
do.
there's only four of them.
I know. I am shocked. I just pulled up their roster. I was like, that can't be right. And I mean, I
He's
know.
calling us liars.
I know why it is, and I'm not going there, so I'm gonna leave that alone.
Well, I think you touched on that earlier when you were discussing splitting up the storm between making one team Everest and Mosinee and the other team Wausau, and how easily mobile teams from the Wausau Metro or players from the Wausau Metro area really can be.
You said that, not me.
Well, I mean, that's just, district policy. You can go to either school as long as you sign the right forms and you
I don't
transport
disagree with
yourself. Well, all right. I think that's enough for tonight, gentlemen, don't you?
you.
Oh,
Yeah,
come on. There's got to
probably.
be somebody else we can piss off. I don't
But
know. You want to say anything bad about nurses?
what?
Nurses.
No, who can
Just
say anything
we're
bad
gonna
about
just make
nurses?
somebody angry or,
No, but the whole
I'm not
thing,
going
I
to say
mean,
anything bad about nurses or teachers. Crap.
whole thing with all of this is, like we all want to see the game grow. I mean, that for me, that's priority one, and especially from the girls' side, because I've been on both sides of it, and I know that it's very different on the girls' side how teams get treated and all that. But I mean, whatever we said about anybody, any programs tonight, like we want to see the game grow, and that's really that's our intent, and that's why we're, for me, that's why I enjoy trying to give coverage to teams, and so they get some feeling good about themselves or whatever that might be. But That should be the goal for everybody. It's clearly not, but that's at some point we hope we can get there.
Yep. Well, all right. For Bill Berg and Dan Bauer, I am Bill Berg Jr. Thank you for joining us on This Week in Wisconsin Prep Hockey. We'll be back next week to piss off some more people.